The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Now we're joined in studio by Erica Folan and Pauline McKeown. Pauline is the CEO of Cool Mind Therapeutic Community, and they offer outreach and residential treatment programs to people who suffer with addiction. And Erica has suffered with addiction in the past, but she's a graduate of Cool Mind's residential treatment program in Ashley House, which is Ireland's only residential rehabilitation centre for mothers and their children. And Cool Mind is hoping to open a second similar house to Ashley House somewhere on the west of Ireland, probably Limerick.
That's it. Okay. Thank you.
Both of you are very welcome.
Thank you very much.
So we've established already that Ashley House is unique. Maybe you'll describe what you do in Ashley House, Pauline.
Sure, I will. Happy to. So I guess Cool Mind's a national addiction treatment service provider, and national because of the specialist services that we provide, working with travelling community members, prisoners, women, pregnant women, homeless people as well. And I guess most significantly, Cool Mind Ashley House is the only residential treatment centre in Ireland where a mother or a homeless pregnant lady can access treatment without having to put her children into care or some form of care.
And that's what makes it unique.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's hugely important.
Massively important. I guess what we would see is the women that we work with, and indeed some of the men that we work with, you know, there's complex needs there, criminal justice issues, homelessness, previous psychiatric issues, mental health well-being. But moreover, the clients that we work with, we're seeing 4 out of 5 would be coming from a family home where addiction, there has been a high level of addiction. So it is there in families, in the intergenerational families
and
across
what
Ireland.
Are the special needs of mothers with addiction? Apart from minding the children, but I suppose there's an understanding within the house, and they're surrounded by people who are in similar situations.
Yeah, and that's probably key and critical. First and foremost, for a woman homeless, impacted with addiction, there tends to be domestic violence, there tends to be abuse, there tends to have been issues in her past, trauma of many descriptions, indeed even homelessness itself. But certainly there would be varying levels of trauma. And the first thing that needs to happen is a place of safety. It is really as simple as that. A place of safety and a non-judgmental environment. And thereafter then, in terms of the treatment programme that's provided by Cool Mind, it is a therapeutic community. And Eric will maybe talk a little bit about what that means. But it's very much living in a small drug-free community, because there is an acceptance that, you know, it's not the drugs, it's not the individual, it's not even necessarily environment, but behaviour is led to increase in drug use. That then becomes out of control. So in the therapeutic community, we look to relearn behaviours, positive behaviours.
Okay. Erica, thanks for coming in. This is going to be difficult enough for you. I would imagine you have to revisit tough times in your life.
Look, it's well worth it, isn't it?
To get the message out
someone.
There. Yes, yeah. So what age were you when you started taking heroin?
I think I was about 26.
Right.
I'd been on it for about 5 years.
When you finally got off it?
When I finally got off it, 26 when I started.
Yeah. I am fascinated. I don't know if other people are fascinated by the first time somebody does heroin.
Yeah.
I suppose we're familiar with images in TV and on film.
Oh, they're not like that at all.
No.
What happened to me is I was always the giver. Do you know, I was looking after family and that, and I had no problem with that. And then there was a death in the family. My cousin passed away. And it's like at that moment, I was with the wrong people, wrong crowd. And it was handed to me and I was told my worries would all disappear. And they did disappear when I was using it. It really did. You felt nothing. You didn't feel the pain. It was brilliant. At the time, you thought there was nothing like it. Like, oh my God, I can get over this. I can stop hurting. But wow, did it spiral very, very fast into a dark hole.
Right.
Do you know?
So it's like you're numbed, are you?
It's like this warm sensation over you. It's like nearly someone hugging you and everything's going to be okay, yet you're on your own doing it. Or you could be with people and it's just all your worries. Nothing. there's nothing you can't conquer when you're on it. That's how it makes you feel.
And is it a social drug or is it an individual drug? You know, did you...
It starts off social.
Right.
But it's that powerful. It's really like, it's like a love-hate relationship that you get so greedy that you just want it because you feel this sickness. And it's like, well, if I share with them, I won't get that little high anymore. Because you're constantly chasing it. It's never like the first time, that warm, fuzzy feeling. You have to go higher and higher, take more and more to even get the sensation. Because now you're chasing it, so you're not sick. So you're not getting cramps in your legs and all that. So
you're taking it to be normal, to feel normal.
To get up out of bed and be able to bring kids to school.
Right.
That you're not cranky.
And how quickly did it go from occasional to every day?
I think in the space of... I was taking it at the start, maybe twice a week. And after about 3 months, the obsession came on me. You know, that I need this. I was in my head thinking, telling myself, oh, you're sick. When I actually wasn't at that stage, but I needed it. I wanted it. It was the urge. It was like for someone that goes buying a new pair of shoes. Oh, I need them shoes. No, I need that drug. And you'll step over everything. You say you won't, you will do anything to get that drug.
Yeah. And of course... lying is a big part of being an addict, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time. You'll lie, you will do anything. You'll sell the jacket on your back. You will tell them anything they want to hear just so you can get that money or that you're believed, I'm not an addict. Or that's people, sure, they're only talking about me. They've nothing else to talk about. They're jealous, something else. Yeah. You will come up with every lie. You're become that much of a liar that you're lying to yourself in the end. It's crazy. It's just... such a downward spiral, and it gets out of control so fast that you don't recognise yourself.
That's what I was going to ask. My next question is, you know, when you look back, what sort of version of Erica do you see when you look back in your memory?
I don't know who she was. Like, I genuinely don't know who that girl was. I was always outgoing, did anything for anyone. Do you know, always I turned into this nasty, nasty person with myself. Like, you'd wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and say, how did I turn out like this? And you're feeling sorry for yourself, yet you're still getting that drug. And when you had that drug, then you could put makeup on and say, oh, look, I look okay today. But you're hurting everyone, but you don't care. You don't see that. They could be crying in front of you and you're like, ah, look, you're all right. I'll make it up to
you
later.
Because you had two children.
A boy, Calum, and a little girl, Madison.
Right.
And...
How did you fund it? Is that a sticky question?
It's bad to say.
I know people out there want to know that, you know.
It's bad. It's really bad to say. I always thought because I bought my kids their runners and stuff first, I was entitled to the heroin afterwards. Children's allowance, your weekly money, travelling to Dublin to get a bigger amount, selling it
right.
So you'd have it. So, you know, it's dearer down home. Up here you could get something for a tenner. Down home, it's 25 and that's it.
And down home is Galway.
Down home is Galway. And you're not let off a penny. So you're making money.
So you'd get on the train.
Go to Dublin, collect maybe an eighth more, come back down, sell it, because down home, a bag of it was €25.
Yeah. And you were aware then that you were breaking the law because you were dealing. Yeah. Now you're dealing.
Mm. Yeah. And now Galway's so small, remember. So... maybe there's only 3 people dealing. Oh, Erica's dealing. Do you know, there was, like, it's shameful to say, there was times I was in my apartment with my mum and my 2 kids and my whole door came in on top of me, detectives.
Right.
And it was, I don't know, someone was looking down on top of me because I didn't have anything in my house and they came, they searched and I remember one of them just saying to me, you were such a lovely girl. What are you doing?
Yeah. When did you ask yourself that question seriously? So when was the first time you thought, I need to stop this and I need to seek help?
When I was brought into hospital, I was hospitalised. I was about 6, maybe 6 and a half stone. And I was so sick, I couldn't get up off the bed.
Because you're tall enough, girl. What are you, 5'5"?
Maybe, I don't know. 6.
5'6", yeah. So 6 and a half stone, you're.
And I was like... it was just nothing fit me. Size 4 clothes and they were hanging off me. My son's clothes I'd wear and they were still baggy on me. So when I was in hospital, I remember this lovely old fella came over to me and he actually blessed me and thought I wouldn't make it in hospital the next few days because it was blood. It was just, I was a different person.
Mm.
But my mum came up with my sister and brought my kids up. And it was only when I was looking in their eyes, you could see it wasn't childhood, it was just black. They were like literally dead. Like it was weird. Do you know, when I looked at their eyes, it was just like they were afraid, they were everything, but it was just dead. It was like, they don't know, is mammy coming home?
Mm.
Do you know that kind of way? They were going for my mum and my sister and just looking as if, like, it was like they're detached from me. Do you know, like they weren't feeling, I'm your mother. And it was just weird what I saw in there. And I was like, I'm not doing this to them.
And of course, when we've established it already, that when you take heroin, it's to numb your own pain.
Yeah. And so now you're taking it again because my kids were living with my mother. She got guardianship. And then you're looking at bedrooms and they're empty. You're in an empty apartment. Yeah. And you're going, oh my God. So you're numbing it, but you're not numbing it.
Because
you still wake up and you're still feeling crap. So, do you know what I mean? It's just it's going around in a circle constantly.
Mm.
Constantly.
And some people never get out of that circle.
No.
But you managed to.
Yeah.
So it was that moment, 6.5 stone in a hospital bed.
Looking at my kids crying.
Looking at your children.
Yeah.
Crying. You had to do something about it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It was the biggest wake-up call I think I've ever gotten.
Had you spoken to people who got off heroin?
My brother.
Prior to that, right.
My brother was actually in Coomine. He came from the prison into Coomine. And he told me, he kept begging me to go in and told me. And I was so afraid of social workers. I was like, no, I can't do it, Tommy. I can't do it. And he goes, they help you. They work with women and kids. And the minute I heard that, it was like a weight was lifted off me. Big time. I was like, oh my God.
And the fear was that a social worker might take your children
might take my kids from me.
Because you're a drug addict.
You're looked down on. Mm. Heroin, like especially down home, is a big thing. You're just, there's not even a word for you. You're just looked and you're just looked away. Do you know that kind of way?
There is a hierarchy of drugs, isn't there, Pauline?
I guess we could say that.
If you hear somebody's taking cocaine, and then there's heroin, cannabis is sort of, it's all different
absolutely
opinions of people who take certain drugs.
We have alcohol.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah.
You know, and alcohol is a problem substance for many people throughout Ireland as well.
I see there was just figures out today.
Yeah.
That nearly 55,000 cases of problem alcohol are treated in Ireland over the last 7 years. I just say that.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there's a 50% increase in those cases that are noting cocaine use along with alcohol, and also that 1 in 10 are homeless.
Right.
You know, so these are showing the I guess that fuller picture of the impact of addiction, problem, drug and alcohol use in Irish society today.
So Erica, so when did you first encounter Erica, Pauline?
I say on a visit to Ashley House.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
As the chief executive of the organisation, I kind of dip in and out
of
services.
I
unfortunately don't do the hard work and the main work.
Yeah. And when you applied to get in, did you get in immediately?
I did 9 months of pre-entries.
Right. What's a pre-entry?
Pre-entry is you go up to Lord Edwards Street, you give your urine and you go upstairs and there's a group. You're meant to talk. And I found that very hard at the start, to say where you're at and try and get you into it. Lovely people make you feel so comfortable and at ease. And you keep going, you give your urines. I think it was 4 at the time, you give 4 cleans and you got in. And I always got to 3.
Right.
And then I take something and I slip again.
What was happening? What was happening in your head around then?
Oh, it was like I was travelling twice a week up from Galway, the Monday and the Friday. And I was like, okay, maybe I'd get away with just one more. Everything is one more. Because I did so well. One more. And one more is never enough. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, you're
always just
going to
do one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more, you could be dead. Simple as that. You know what I mean? But you don't think of that.
So eventually you got 4 cleans.
I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, it's such
and look,
a journey.
You're beaming now. Yeah. Just even thinking about it. You're beaming because...
So happy.
But it
so
can't
happy
have been easy.
Oh, my God, no. No, I ended up, before I came in, going on the methadone programme, which killed me because social workers thought again. and everything. And with that, I was able to stay clean from heroin. And it was just after my mother got married that I got in. And it was just like, wow. It was, can't even explain it. It was just, wow. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's like a new job to someone, or it's just, all right, I get to start. I get to have my life back again. I get to be that old person. But you don't realise you're the old person plus 10 times better in yourself when you complete that.
The person you used to be.
Yeah, but a lot better and happier.
Because you've been through this horrific hardship of drug addiction and you're out the other side.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So you skip on nicely from that. Like, how bad was it in there? Like,
people think that, you genuinely think it. It's a lot to come from your own home into Ashley House with new surroundings, pull-ups, being put into departments. Like, this is all alien.
Pull-ups.
Oh, it's just, if you're a cock cursing, I'm putting you up for your bad language.
Oh, pull-ups. Sorry, yes, pull-ups. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, it's all different. It's all different. Like, there's all these girls you don't know. I remember I'm coming in without my kids because they were too old.
Yes, and there are children there.
And then there's children there.
If you're under five, is it?
Yeah. That's right, under five.
Yeah, yeah.
So, pregnant or under five.
Credit where credit's due to the girls doing it in there with their kids, because it's hard enough work on yourself.
Yeah.
But if I felt at ease straight away, the staff were lovely. You're given a big sister. The girls were all lovely. They made you feel welcome. It was like another family, you know. And after a few days, a few weeks, you learn everything. You click everything, and it's not as bad as you think. Mm. What's worse, being out in the street, dead, no kids, still tapping or whatever people do for the drug, or giving yourself a chance.
Yeah.
So there's loads of people I met in pre-entries crying out to get into Ashley, and I got in there. So why wouldn't I give it my all?
And you did.
Yeah, 100%.
How long are you clean?
16 months.
Right. Well done.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank you.
Is there any yearning? Any?
Do you know what? No.
No.
Like, it comes to a point that if I know I'm getting a bit snappy at home, or that I know my triggers now. Like, for instance, I went into the pub with my mother the other day, but I also knew after 40 minutes to get up and go.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to do that.
Yes.
So I'm aware of all my triggers and what.
You're sober completely, nothing.
No.
No. Because alcohol's dangerous, isn't it?
It is, and it often can be the gateway.
Yes.
Often it's maybe how drug use, problem substance use can start for someone, right? Or alternatively, it can.
A lapse.
Just a drink, it can lead to a lapse and a relapse.
Okay, so Erica is living proof that Ashley House does amazing work.
Yeah.
There are how many women waiting to get into Ashley House?
Yeah. In 2018, there were over 32 women, many of them mothers. In 2019, now today, there's over 63.
Okay.
So it's a national service. It's the only one in Ireland, and there's massive demand for it. As I say, the significant proportion are women. Many may be pregnant as well. So there's a window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're seeking to put in place a second residential treatment facility for women and children in Ireland. Of those on that waiting list, about 33% are from the West, Midwest. So we are hoping to establish that somewhere in the Midwest, maybe Limerick.
Mm. Because it's not practical. Like you just said, that going from Galway to Dublin to get to give your urine.
Yeah.
Then there's temptation there. So what's your message then? Who are you pleading with?
Yeah, I guess we're pleading to government to make available the funding in order to put in place that second residential service. It would be a cost of about 1.6 million in order to put in place that second service. But I guess what we would see is that a treatment place in Coal Mine can be anything from 13,000 for a mother and child. It's 23,000 per year. So if we put that against the costs, Ray, of a prison placement, which is maybe 67,000 to 70,000, or indeed even foster care placements, into accident and emergency. Yeah. And we look at all the other benefits.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense. Okay. It definitely makes sense.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
you. Erica, great to see you're so healthy.
Thanks.
And you're a sort of a walking ad for 100%. Ashley House, Coolmine's Ashley House. Pauline McKeown, Chief Executive of Cool Mind Therapeutic Community, and Erica Pauline, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.